one of the things that we do, my team have kind of built out for this, is just really deep research and deep personalization, because a lot of the people, they just don't put the effort in, right? It's for us, the personalization is the 20% that gets 80% of the results. So for example, if James had introduced us and I was trying to get on your podcast, I'd actually go through and listen to 5 or 10 episodes and reference the exact episodes and what I liked about each of the episodes. And then I look at, well, where do I think I can bring the value to your audience, or what are you trying to get out of your podcast that I can help you with? And really make sure the value is driven towards what you're trying to do, rather than, you know, I want to come into the podcast just to sell some shit like that. It just doesn't work.
Right. This is an intro. Intro, intro, intro.
Hustle and Float Shark with your boy.
My boy.
Matt Wolf
and Joe Fit.
Hey.
What up?
Yay.
Yay?
Yay.
Are you excited?
I am.
What are you excited about?
This episode?
Yeah. This one?
That's the one we're talking about. I'm pretty sure it's
not the last one.
That one was a good one too.
They're all good.
But let's focus on this one.
We don't make bad episodes, Joe.
No, that's not in our DNA. Not at all. So today, we're on a copywriting. We're on an email, cold email outreach. Really not just email, actually. We're just doing all sorts of, this is like, basically, the guy we're chatting with just crafts interesting campaigns to get the attention of folks.
Yeah, it's like getting on people's radars, right? Through through cold email, through direct mail, through reaching out on LinkedIn, through sending people lumpy mail, which, you know.
Who does that? Will Wang does that.
And Will Wang does that.
And also do a lot of successful companies. So
yeah.
He breaks it down how to do that.
Yeah, so we cover a lot of ground on this one in order to get people's attention on your business. And I even asked him some like very specific things, like, let's say I need to get more affiliates to promote my product, because we do. If you're an affiliate, promote our shit.
Woo!
But let's say you need more affiliates to promote your product. I asked him, how would you do a cold outreach campaign to get more affiliates to promote your product? Or let's say you're an e-commerce business that has like a, you know, low ticket dollar items. How would you leverage cold outreach to do that?
Or if you have a big ticket product or service or something, like even if you are a big firm, you know, or if you have clients that are a big firm of you, you know, are a big firm and you're a consultant of them or something, like there's so many strategies here you could swipe that it was literally just like rattled off strategies. Will Wang, that's when I go back. Will Wang is who we're chatting with today, and he's over in Australia. He's a buddy of James Ramco. He's a buddy of ours. He's a friend of us all.
And Charlie Valor, who's a good buddy of ours too.
That's right. Shout out to Charlie Valor. So Will Wang's just awesome. He's kind of like a behind the scenes guy running his own agency, Growth Labs with a Z. And
with a Z.
As they
say in Australia.
That's right. It's official. So he's just crafted all these campaigns, and it's what's kind of cool is he kind of claims this is all just basically ways to sell with using modalities and stories and things like that just aren't commonly done.
Yeah.
And I don't know. He's perfected it. He's super creative, and he doesn't do it with like, I mean, he basically has streamlined this thing to a point. Like, he runs an agency. He made it like a lifestyle agency now too. So he breaks down a lot of that. I think that's how we started things out. So if you're an agency and you're kind of like, oh man, the agency life. Well, that can be a thing, but he's actually shaped it, and he's given some resources and stuff on how you can do the same to
More lifestyle. He's also got a podcast too called The Content Driven Business. That's available at contentdrivenbusiness.com. His agency, if you want to work with him on cold email and copywriting and the various services, that's at growthlabs.com with a Z, with a Z. So go check that out. And we took notes on this episode.
We're always taking notes. And this one, as always, is one that you're going to definitely need the notes on. They might be longer than normal. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool tactical stuff in this one. And if you text the word comp to Fugs Plus.
Fugs Plus. F-U-G-S plus.
Yeah, should we keep that going or no?
But I'll also give you the number just in case you're confused. The phone number to text to is 38470. That is 38470, and text the word
comp.
Comp is what Matt said. Matt sounded like a horn there.
Comp. Comp.
That's like, I was gonna say you sound like a cruise ship, but now you sound like a honking, I don't know,
duck?
Duck, yes, okay. Yes, like a cartoon duck. Oh, you just stepped on a duck. Comp.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what it sounds like. So if you text that number and the word to that number, that is, you will get the notes. I always get that backwards because it's kind of weird. But yeah.
Text yeah. comp to 38470.
Yeah, you'll get them notes. So
or go to hustleandflowchart.com/comp.
Comp. Hustleandflowchart.com/comp. So you could do that. And this episode also was sponsored by our buddies over at LinkedIn.
LinkedIn Marketing Solutions.
So that LinkedIn is pretty dang cool. You've heard us mention it. We've actually talked about it in this episode as well.
Yeah, you'll hear it. You'll actually hear a fairly in-depth conversation around LinkedIn and using LinkedIn ads in this episode. So mm-hmm. it's a great episode for LinkedIn to be sponsoring.
It's very true. So Will actually did line out a bunch of things about how he uses LinkedIn in his follow-up or actually his discovery, you know, mm-hmm. like first touch, but also follow-ups. He's using organic. But this sponsorship, like what LinkedIn's really trying to push here, is their ads network. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. And you'll hear Will's perspective, but also it's a time I think you can jump in at a good time with LinkedIn because things are growing really well. And it's also a place you can reach the right professionals at the right time.
Yeah. You know, and I'm realizing right now that in the middle of the episode, I gave you like a way to go and get $100 free of LinkedIn credits.
You did.
And I think I said it wrong. I'm actually looking at the copy right now and I said it wrong. So this is the real URL here. So you can try LinkedIn for yourself. They're giving you a free $100 LinkedIn ad credit to launch your first campaign. You simply got to visit linkedin.com/flowchart. That's linkedin.com/flowchart. On the show, I actually said linkedin.com/hustle, but it's linkedin.com/flowchart.
Terms do apply. Terms and conditions apply. But make sure, go get your $100. It's free at linkedin.com/flowchart.
There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, ignore that other URL that comes later in this episode because it's incorrect. We actually, fun story, we did try to get that one actually, but it was taken.
Oh, bummer.
So, true story.
So somebody else is going to get credit for that if you go to it, so don't go to it.
Yeah, so go check it out. You're going to love it. There's a ton of people, 62 million decision makers or something like that. It's probably more by the time we've done this on LinkedIn. So, yeah, use some strategies that Will talks about and then use this free credit. You'll love it. See ya, and let's go over to Mr. Will. Hey, Will, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on.
Of course, yeah. We share mutual buddies and friends, and James Ceramco being the number one.
The common thread.
The common thread here.
James is amazing.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's just a super connector and just a good guy all around. I think you've been on his show, Super Fast Business, quite a bit, it looked like, right?
Yeah, we've actually got a whole series on there because the Get Client series. So I've jumped on there. I think it's up to 4 or 5 episodes now where I kind of lay out some of our processes. James being the ultimate, you know, salesperson in a good way, having run sales teams, he shared so much value in terms of his selling processes too. So yeah, it's been a whole bunch of fun.
Yeah, man. Nice. Yeah, we've learned a ton there and then just met great people, you know, throughout the whole years of being with them. So it's really cool, man.
Yeah.
And we're talking like, it's kind of funny with all these times we record podcasts. Like today, we've been talking a lot about copy and angles and storytelling and da da da. And then we're like, oh, this is exactly what you do too. You know, or a big piece of it, at least. You know? Yeah,
it's weird. We always have these kind of like themes that form throughout the day. And today's theme is copywriting and storytelling and that kind of stuff. So that's what we're going to get into. But before we do, let's talk about your story a little bit. Let's go back to what you were doing before you were an entrepreneur and how you kind of got into it.
Yeah. So I, you know, unfortunately, I don't really have the sob story where I was living on a friend's couch and all that kind of stuff. But essentially, you know, my background is in corporate IT. So I was a massive nerd. I was sitting in front of the screen. My role was in data itself. So literally looking at spreadsheets for like 12 hours a day and just really unfulfilled, really wanting to do something about, you know, there's more to life than this kind of stuff. A few things happened with corporate where, you know, I had to take a hit for them, but they didn't reciprocate. And I was like, that's it. That's enough. I need to get out of here. The problem was I was on a pretty decent corporate salary, like a 6-figure salary. So, I tried all this stuff like affiliate marketing and, you know, like selling stuff on eBay that I bought from, Amazon, like just arbitrage, but like to replace a 6-figure salary, that's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
the thing is, like, through the whole journey, I got really good at copywriting because I was looking at how do you improve and get more sales, and copy was such a big factor. So it was a good, or it was a blessing in disguise in that I got to practice copy and, you know, practice my tone of voice. And eventually I kind of settled on, well, why didn't I do copy for other people? And that was kind of how the agency started. And it's been a little bit turbulent. I had a lot of ups, a lot of downs, but yeah, that's kind of the journey to get us to kind of where we are.
I like it. I mean, that's a cool story because I know a lot of people listening can relate because they're, you know, maybe they already transitioned from a day job to what they're doing now. But, you know, I think it's super cool not having a sob story too. You know, not everyone needs to have the broke to, you know, blah, blah, blah. But no, you had a great, you know, salary, but at the same time, you figured out a way to completely make it, you know, you designed a life for yourself that you want. And I think you even, like, you told us prior to recording that you've actually designed it even better now since you've been in. We could jump to that in a minute. But yeah, man. So it developed into an agency. And what was that, Growth Labs? Is that what it is?
Yeah, Growth Labs. It kind of got that way naturally. So I guess what I first started doing as soon as I jumped out, and you know, the first few years is obviously a hard journey. So if there's any sobs or it's like, you know, holy crap, do I have to go back to work and, you know, what the hell is going on? But I pretty much started selling websites to people. The first deal was on a gaming forum. Like, I'm a massive nerd. So I was on gaming forums and the guy's like, hey, I just need a website done. I'm like, oh, I can do that for you. But then it kind of evolved. So the webs. I play a lot of first person shooters, so Overwatch, a lot of strategy. I mean, I've got, like, you know, kids in the business and stuff now, so I get really deep into it. I've got a really addictive personality. So if I play a game, I'm in there for like 40 hours a week. So I try to stay away from it a little bit.
All right. That makes sense.
But I met this guy, I did his website and he's like, look, dude, your copy's actually really good. Can you try and do some ads for me? Cause I've got a website now, but there's no traffic. So I kind of naturally progressed that way and then did a bunch of networking and just said yes to everything and, you know, did the wrong thing, kind of went too wide in terms of services and came back down. But that's kind of the path that I kind of stumbled across.
Yeah.
So with the agency now, is it still you writing copy or do you have a big team and you've trained a whole bunch of copywriters? What does it look like today?
Yeah, so today I've actually reduced it. So we were growing bigger and bigger and, you know, just getting more work, but some of the work wasn't as fulfilling. Some of the copy wasn't as fulfilling. I started to get other people to do it, but my main thing is I love copy. Like, I love writing, persuasion, all that kind of stuff. So I've kind of narrowed it down now. So we actually scaled down the agency where we've probably halved in size in terms of the clients that we're working with. But every single client we've got now, we absolutely love working with and they're all getting great results. There's less management because we're doing less as well. But just doing the things that we do a lot better. So yeah, we're kind of scaled down to be honest. And then there's other stuff happening on the side, other courses and side projects, but agency just kind of runs a little bit better than it used to.
Yeah.
Now, is there like a specific type of client that you're looking for? You know, like some copy agencies only work with like the health space. Some only work with like marketers. Some only work in real estate. Like, is there like an ideal avatar for your client?
Yeah, there is. So I guess the two services that we still do is one is like the LinkedIn and cold email outreach. So that's more kind of like people going after enterprise deals, software companies, financial services is big for us, tech. And the other side where it's like copywriting for conversions, whether it's funnels and email sequences, that's more in the online space. So online courses around health, around wealth. We haven't really gotten to spirituality yet because I'm still finding that a bit of a, you know, not quite me. So, yeah, but those are the kind of main areas.
Gotcha.
Yeah. No, so like, it's interesting. You said yes to a lot of things when you were starting, you said, right? So, how did that show up as an agency for you? Like, was that, it sounds like it got the momentum going, but what, there was a time where you were just like, too much, or were you, like you said, it just got too wide. So talk about that a little bit. I think that's a good experience.
Yeah, it just got to the point where, I mean, when we first started, we were trying to do Google ads, Facebook ads, conversion copywriting, building funnels. We didn't tackle SEO because I wasn't that crazy where I thought, hey, we can do this stuff as well. But literally, you know, we're trying to do as much as we can because I thought that's how you had to grow.
Yeah.
But that meant I was doing work for 18 hours a day. It meant that we weren't really specialized in one area. So it's really hard to build a brand and we had to go out and chase so much business at the wrong pricing. So that kind of happened and I was doing crazy, you know, 18 hour days for like 6 or 7 days a week. And I just got really, really burnt out. And, you know, I kind of left my pretty comfortable corporate job where at 6 or 5 p.m. I could be like, all right, see you guys. I just don't give a shit what happens now. Sure. The building burns down. It's not my business. to the point where it's like, you know, stressing out at night, not sleeping properly. It's like, oh crap, what happened with this client's campaign? And the people I was hiring as well, it just, we had to hire so quick to keep up with it. Mm. And we just weren't hiring the right people. So that's, you know, kind of where it got to. And then over the past year, I've really been scaling back on exactly what we do, but just doing a few things really, really well.
Yeah. No, and you mentioned, you know, lifestyle is a big piece of what you scaled back to, is like this lifestyle design. And I, that actually caught my ear. Like, you're like, okay, here's an agency guy. And he's like, no, I scaled it back for lifestyle design. So what does that look like now for you?
Yeah, so James had a massive part to play in it, because before
when I came with him,
I was just like, you know, going after like hustle. If I'm not working 18 hours a day, what am I doing? I'm a loser. But James was like, well, hang on, dude. Like, no, you know, he works with massive successful businesses. The owners are only working like 4 hours a day. He goes, there's not the right message that people put into the world. So for me now, like, it's only, we're still working at it. We're definitely not perfect. And there's definitely days where I'm still doing fairly long hours. But now it's more about the control and what I'm actually doing within those hours. So typically now I'm working about 6 hours a day, working on things like creating content, working on things like copywriting for myself and for my clients, and then on talking to new clients and potentially walking through the sales process. And that's the only things that I do. And my team in the Philippines are amazing. Mm. And they kind of do the rest of it and make sure everything functions really smoothly.
Mm-hmm. I like it. So what, like, going back, if you were to start this all over again as an agency, what would you do differently?
I probably wouldn't even start an agency. I don't know.
Hey, good honesty. That's great.
I think after going for it, the business model is, I love agency because it let me learn so much so quickly. And it was kind of like paid learning. So I really love that aspect of it. But as a business model, it's really, really hard to grow and scale because it's just driven by labor and hours put into it. Mm-hmm. So knowing what I know now, I mean, I probably would still go for the same journey, but I would be really focused on just doing the one thing and just becoming world-class at one thing. Yeah, I think that'll really help. Or just even serving one industry might even be a lot better.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk a bit about cold email too. So I know you do cold email. Well, before we do, can you sort of define cold email to our audience in the way that you see it? Because I've heard, you know, different definitions. So I just want to make sure we're all talking on the same terms.
Yeah. So cold email, the way I look at it is starting a relationship with someone who doesn't know you yet. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's like, well, they don't know you. They don't know of you. They don't know about your services, but we think we can help them. So we use cold email to open the door and start a relationship. It's not about sales. I don't think of it as a way of selling, but it's just about having a right conversation with the right people.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So when you do cold emails, like, what do you do differently? Because, you know, as podcasters, and you're a podcaster as well, but as podcasters, we get a lot of cold emails, right? We get a lot of people saying, hey, I listen to your show. I love it. I'd love to be on it, right? And I would say 98% of them, we just hit the archive button and never even reply. So, you know, what do you do differently to make sure that people are actually paying attention to the emails you're sending?
Yeah. So one of the things that we do, my team have kind of built out for this, is just really deep research and deep personalization, because a lot of the people, they just don't put the effort in, right? It's for us, the personalization is the 20% that gets 80% of the results. So for example, if James had introduced us and I was trying to get on your podcast, I'd actually go through and listen to 5 or 10 episodes and reference the exact episodes and what I liked about each of the episodes. And then I look at, well, where do I think I can bring the value to your audience? Or what are you trying to get out of your podcast that I can help you with? Mm. And really make sure the value is driven towards what you're trying to do, rather than, you know, I want to come into the podcast just to sell some shit. Like, that just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, it's smart, man. And have you done that to get on other shows yourself?
Yeah, so I actually did that to introduce myself to James. So that's kind of like back in the early days. Yeah. So, I mean, we don't do it so much for podcasting at the moment, but it works really well. Whereas most of our clients just want leads and sales. So that's kind of more of our focus. But yeah, it can definitely work for podcast outreach. Actually, James shared a really good one with me the other day where instead of asking to be on a podcast, there was a cold email outreach from one of my friends actually that asked him who he wants on as guests and trying to introduce guests into that podcast. And it was only after the conversation kept going, then he's like, by the way, here's what I'm kind of good at. So if you ever need a guest for this, I'd be more than happy to give value to your audience.
See, that's so smart. That was awesome. Yeah, you start with value. Yeah, you're leading with all that stuff, and then it's kind of once you get warmed up and get the conversation rolling, then yeah, here's what I do. And probably at that point, if you're giving so much value, they probably ask you, "Hey, what's up with you?"
Yeah,
you know. Like, and I think that's almost like the cool thing, like be the mysterious guy. Like you don't need to be doing the talking so much about you. Just like, hey, here's some other cool stuff, you know? So what are some other ways for cold, like outreach and emails? Like what are some uses? And then maybe we can get into more specifics about how people can apply cold emailing. I
think that's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of uses that we've seen. If you want to build referral relationships, that's a great one as well. Getting onto speaking platforms or speaking stages. So we've used that as well. One of our clients uses us just to book speaking gigs, which is pretty cool. Yeah. And obviously then you've got the straight up lead generation and going after the sale. So there's a lot of creative ways to use it to build, you know, brands. You can get onto PR and, you know, some pretty big platforms reaching out to editors. So you can get pretty creative with this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, maybe I can throw out some business concepts or things that we might consider using cold email. And maybe you can give us an idea of like how you would use cold email in those circumstances.
Like, yeah,
sure. You know, one for example, right now, this is sort of, this is going to be a selfish one because it's current for us, is we've got our Evergreen Profits newsletter and we're actually in a process of trying to get more affiliates on board to promote it. And, you know, we get a lot of cold emails from people trying to get us to promote their stuff. And just like the other cold emails, a lot of them get ignored, right? There's some that rise to the top, some that we pay attention to. But for the most part, most of them, we just kind of went, yeah, they didn't even try. And we ignore the email. So how about, let's start with that example. If we're trying to get more affiliates on board to promote something, how would you approach that?
Yeah, so I would approach it by, first of all, looking at what type of affiliates you actually want. So I think one of the biggest problems or biggest mistakes is just going out to everyone and going, yeah, I'll just send the same message out to everyone. We kind of like to take the sniper approach rather than the shotgun. So we'll just look at, you know, who do we know would actually treat your audience with respect and be the right fit for them? Who treats their own list with respect? What type of content are they putting out? Are they a direct competitor or are they actually, you know, in the same industry, serving the same people, but with a very complementary product? So the first step would actually be doing a lot of research and maybe coming up with a list of 5 to 10, you know, even 20 people that you think could actually be a good fit. And then looking at, okay, for each of these people, let's do some deeper research. Let's get on the email list. Let's see what they're sending out and really finding out how they treat the people who go through the list. Because, you know, with partnering up and doing affiliate stuff, you don't want someone else to ruin your brand and your reputation. Right. So it's really important to do the research to make sure they're the right partners for you.
So that's good. Yeah. So you do a lot of research, and then what would your like first step be, you know, of that whole interaction?
Yeah. So first step, I just open the conversation. I'd reach out and say, hey, I've been on your list for a while. I've checked out maybe some of your products that I bought. It's awesome. Love what you do. How can I help you? Like, how can I help you grow your brand and your product?
Yeah.
You might even say, look, we've actually got a list ourselves. We do this product. You know, if there's some potential for us to help you, you know, hey, by all means, just shoot me back an email and let's have a conversation.
Yeah. So it sounds like, I mean, it's similar like how we approach things as well. It's like if you can approach it with value and, you know, knowing who you're talking to, not shotgun approaching everything, which I think was a term from another podcast we talked about earlier too. Yeah. The copy podcast is like, yeah, shotgun and sniper approach. It's kind of funny how similarities. Yep. But lead with value. I mean, like one of the things and it's just a natural thing in my emails with anyone I'm talking to is like, hey, how can we help you out further? You know, or like, you're doing this. Do you you want any, like, for you, do you want to go on more shows? We could do introductions, you know? And it's just kind of like a thing that I've now ingrained in myself. I know you do it in your own way as well.
Yeah, you email them and say, hey, how can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're not going, hey, can you help me? You're saying, hey, how can I help you? And sure. Then maybe even the fact that we have an affiliate product doesn't even come up in the first email. Maybe it's just build the relationship, ask how you can help, and start opening lines of communication. And maybe that affiliate email even comes later.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. There was actually a great episode that you guys recently did. I think as you were traveling back from Rich Schifrin's event,
where you were saying,
hanging out with these high level elite marketers who've been around for ages and ages, and how they were just really nice people who are open and helping. Mm-hmm. I think that's just the kind of attitude you kind of need to do this stuff well.
Yeah, no, it's cool you brought that up, because that is, I mean, that's funny because you just recorded that the other day. It's just funny how fast that got out. But yeah, it's interesting when you get past the people that are just, you know, using these automated tools like outreach systems. Like, we had the guy GMAS was on this podcast.
Mailshake is another
Mailshake's one that we've used. Mm. But, you know, there's good and bad ways to use all these outreach tools. Of course, you could just load it up with emails that you shouldn't be emailing. Like, don't do that. Or you can have a conversation and, you know, use it as a follow-up thing and a way to stay in front of them and top of mind. And that was the cool thing at Rich Schifrin's place is like, no, you know, like when you get to a level, you could see there's a way of thinking that's different than the people who are just kind of just not thinking about the human on the other side of the device that they're reading on.
Well, it really comes down to like the super successful people. What you notice is it's more like their mindset is give, 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 give. And then the ones that are kind of like still, you know, struggling and really having a hard time, their mindset is like, how can I get other people to give to me? How can I get other people to give to me? Right. And like, you sort of, when you get among a lot of high level people, you start to realize that pattern exists, is that their focus is on giving as opposed to like, how can I take from others?
Mm.
Yeah, it's quite funny too, because I'm starting to do a lot more events, just, you know, both speaking and networking and just attending events. And we always seem to pick up a decent amount of work from events. But my goal going into events is never to pick up leads or sales or anything like that. It's always to like, what can I learn? How can I contribute to people around me? And the stuff just happens naturally when you start sharing what you know. So yeah, really good point. I think you can definitely see it with everyone operating at a very high level.
Yeah.
Now, so we don't need to go through like a list of a whole bunch of ideas, but this is just another one I wanted to touch on, because I think the approach might be slightly different. But let's say I was like a coach or a consultant, and I saw somebody that I feel like, okay, this person or this company, I've got what they need. I know I can help them. Like maybe I saw their, let's say I'm an SEO consultant, just for example, and I saw their website, and I'm like, I know where the holes are and I know I can help them. How would I reach out to that person to try to offer them my services?
Yeah. So the first thing I'll do is, obviously there's technical stuff and getting the emails and stuff like that. But after you've got all of that, we can come back to that, because I've got a whole process around that too. Oh, but the number one thing I'd look at doing is seeing from them if they even care about this. Because even though they have all these holes, and if we do a few things, you might go up in the rankings. They might not even care about rankings and SEO at all. So one of the first emails we send is, look, I've got some ideas that might help you do this. Is this something you're even thinking about? Is this even, is this even on your mind? Are you curious at all? Because if not, I don't want to send you a massive SEO report, because that takes away from the value. Whereas if you are thinking about it, that adds to the value. So that's number one thing that we start with. We might send an email saying, hey, I was on your site, saw that you've got a few, I'm from SEO background. I noticed there's a few things you can do to really increase your rankings quickly. Just wondering if it's okay to share those ideas with you. If not, completely fine. Just send me back an email. Yes or no, either way, I'm cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it kicks off the conversation. And from there, it's kind of an open door, it sounds like, right?
Yeah. I think from there, you just kind of let the people you're talking to dictate what kind of help they need, and just kind of have a conversation. It's, for me, it's not really B2C marketing, B2B marketing. It's human-to-human marketing, and just really understanding the person on the other side of the screen.
I think it's so, like, it's smart that you just said human-to-human marketing. I mean, we've talked about it before in this show many times, is a lot of, and it's coming up more and more, I feel like, because I think people are starting to realize, there's so much noise and spam out there. I mean, like we just talked about, we'll get back to it, actually, it's getting the email. It's like, there's a lot of ways to scrape email addresses, to find all these tools out there. I think like hunter.io is one of them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's But, you know, there's a good use and a bad use of these tools. And then, yeah, if it's in the wrong hands or the wrong, you know, like not thinking about the human on the other side. I mean, like, we can actually see you in this video. We're like, cool. But if, like, even without the voice, if you're just text, it's like, ah, it could just be a spam. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel tangible. So I think having that in mind is so important.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the emails, actually. Like, how do you actually source these people? How do you get the emails to start communication?
Yeah, sure. So I'll kind of cover it at a very high level because we've actually built a lot of our own code for it. Mm. So we get pretty advanced because this is obviously what we do for clients. But at a very high level, it's like if you know the name of the person you're trying to email, and that's very easy to find online, especially if you're going after a business. Mm. If you have the email domain, you can use a tool just like Hunter. So mm-hmm. you know, I'm a big fan of Hunter. Plug the name and email in, and it'll tell you if it's right or not. We go a little bit deeper in terms of the research that we do for these people because sometimes the domain they've got on the website isn't their email domain and there's a few other things that happen. So I won't go into too much detail because that's like the exception to the rule.
Right.
And then you've got to make sure that it's the right email. So the services out there like Neverbounce and a few other services that actually cleans emails and checks that emails are valid. One of the mistakes you can make is sending out to a bunch of emails that aren't valid and that's going to get your domain blacklisted. So definitely make sure they're valid emails. And, you know, it just comes back to good practice in sending emails in general, not even with cold emails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So I'm just thinking of like the process here. So to actually get the email, you know, you're going to essentially find whatever target you're trying to look for there, start the communication through, and then what, you use your software or someone can use something like Hunter. And yeah, never. Yeah, and basically, essentially, know that this is a good email. Do you ever use like contact forms or anything that's a little quicker or no?
No, personally, we don't. And it's something that we might test. But to be honest, every time someone uses a contact form to contact me, it's like, oh, yeah. Now you're in my actual warm email list. Now I've got to get my team to get you out of there. And so, you know, for me, it's like, well, if we're starting a relationship with the person we're emailing, let's make it easy for them to opt out of that relationship. So rather than having to take an extra step and annoy them if they don't want to hear from us, I'd rather just go straight into the inbox rather than contact forms. Mm.
I like that. It's a better experience for everybody. I mean, really, it's just less friction and it's more human as well. Yeah, you know, if you have the email address. Do you ever use any other modalities like Messenger or social and all
or,
that?
Or maybe even making a video and sending a video to the people.
Right.
Yeah, so we definitely do a whole bunch of videos, and there's a whole bunch of customizations as well. The software out there that you can put, you know, a blank piece of paper, and you can put the name, so you can customize by name. So there's some really cool stuff out there. But we go across a whole bunch of different modalities. We don't generally do Facebook Messenger because most of our clients are B2B, so you don't want to be you know, trying to get into people's messengers. It's not the right way to start the relationship. But we also combined, you know, cold emails with LinkedIn outreach. We also use direct mail on top of that as well. Mm-hmm. And we also do some LinkedIn advertising and retargeting advertising to the right people if we've got a decent list.
Yeah. So I'm curious about the direct mail thing. So it's obviously got to be a different process to get addresses versus email addresses. How does that process look?
It's a lot of research by the team in the Philippines. It's literally just Googling businesses. I mean, we have to do the research anyway as part of, so every single contact we send out, we do a whole bunch of research on that business. So as part of it, we get, you know, we go to Google, get their address. Generally, there's a phone number on there as well. And we just can kind of compile all that data into one spreadsheet.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Very cool. And so when you do send the direct mail, what are you sending? Like postcards, sales letters, lumpy mail? Like what kind of things are you doing?
Yeah, so we alternate between, so lumpy mail is still working quite well if it's not too cheesy. So there was the stuff with the rubbish bins and money in the rubbish bin, that kind of got a little bit cheesy. but if it's kind of relevant to the industry or what you do, that's still working really well. For example, there's a client we had working with recently. With the emails, so we're able to get into the bigger towns like, you know, New York and San Fran and all that kind of stuff. But they had a segment where they were trying to get into small towns like Buffalo and things like that. And email just wasn't getting the cut through. Mm-hmm. So what we did was we created a really, really nice envelope. It was like silver and gold and sparkly. So it looked like they were being invited to an actual event. And it kind of was. They were doing like a launch event. And we used those to get into small towns. And the conversion from those were just crazy. People rocked up to the event like, this is amazing. Like, we're doing this now for our sales teams, but you know, you just got so much cut through. So it depends on what you're trying to do with the outreach and what the goal is. Mm-hmm. You can always tie it back to how you should be doing, you know, lumpy mail or direct mail as well.
And how about with direct mail? Because then you're dealing with, especially with the types of folks you're working with, it sounds like you have to, you have a gatekeeper, you know, you have an assistant or some secretary or someone checking your mail. Typically, it's not the business owner. I'm sure it can be a lot of times too. Do you have ways to bypass that gatekeeper?
Yeah, so I'll take that same example with a really nice letter. So we actually had someone handwrite every single name on there. Mm. So for the gatekeeper, when they get it, it's like, oh, it must be an invitation to a wedding or some kind of event. It's handwritten, so obviously there's been effort put into it. Mm. There's a stamp on it, so it looks legit, like someone's put the stamp on there. Yeah. Therefore, it's personal. I'll just follow that straight through. Nice. Whereas if it was generic and printed, they might be like, look, it might be a nice envelope, but there's no effort put into it. It's probably some kind of promotional stuff.
Yeah. Now, are you doing this at volume or is this like you find an address and you just send in one at a time?
No. So we're doing this at volume. The service providers that we use to do the handwriting, you know, we've hired people off Craigslist and in Australia, it's called Airtasker to do a similar kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we generally do it at volume. It's commercially not as viable if you're doing it one by one because everything's just more expensive. So we typically send about a minimum of about 1,000 direct mails for each campaign.
Wow. Yeah, that's really cool, man. And I love to hear that you guys are doing direct mail. I mean, a lot of people just don't think of direct mail. I mean, we use that in our business. It's more of a subscription, you know, a paid thing, but it's always fascinating. And you know, there's only a select people, but it's just an empty inbox typically for most places. You know, like there's so much noise in email typically, and even Messenger and all that stuff. LinkedIn, oh my God. I want to circle back on LinkedIn in a sec too. Actually, you know, let's go there right now and I'll ask this later, but how about LinkedIn? Like, do you have any specific strategies or best practices people can try for themselves? And maybe a little bit of organic and maybe even a paid strategy.
Yeah, definitely. So we're still getting really good results from LinkedIn by reaching out to people and actually connecting, but it is getting harder and harder. So the reason why I kind of prefer cold emails on LinkedIn is because with LinkedIn, it's like, you know, that rap that Eminem did in 1 mile, like you only get one shot, do not miss a chance to blow and all that kind of stuff. Where you've only got one connection request or one email attempt. If they don't work, that's it. Like you can't reach out again. But the problem is a lot of people are still doing it the wrong way where like they might get the connection request, but then they just go and just spam and just spew out their entire sales pitch.
Right.
So for us, it literally is the same process as, you know, when we do emails, when we do direct mail, it's a lot of research, looking at what they've liked in terms of their activities, looking at what they've posted and referencing that and starting a conversation. So for us, there has to be a trigger or some kind of reason to connect. So it might be, hey, Sally, I saw that you posted about this recently. I'm actually in the industry or I'm a big fan of this as well. We'll love to connect and keep and just follow what you're doing. And so then after you've connected, start a conversation. Don't even think about the sale. Just be like, hey, Sally, it's really interesting that you commented about this. I've actually got a similar view. So what's your thoughts on this other topic that's kind of similar?
Yeah.
And so you're just getting to know them as a human. And then at the end of it, you know, if you do a good job, they'll turn around and go, look, it's a really good conversation. What do you actually do?
Yeah.
And then it's like, but still don't spam them, right? Just still like, look, here's what I do. A very short, quick summary. If you need help, that's cool. We can have a chat. But hey, I've enjoyed this conversation so much. I'm happy to keep talking about this other thing that we started the conversation with.
Mm, I like that. Yeah, because I can't even think. There's maybe been like 1% or less people that actually take that approach on LinkedIn. It's
I feel like most of what I see on LinkedIn is copy and pasted, just the same thing to everybody.
Yeah.
My pet peeve on LinkedIn is the people who when they do the connection request, they've got your name in there. So it's like, hey, well, let's connect, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, cool. But as soon as they do it, they spam you and they don't even have your first name on the message they spam you with. It's like, come on, you can't be that lazy, surely.
It's true. It's wild, man. So, I mean, if you could just be a human in LinkedIn, dear God, you're going to stand out. But like you said, it's kind of like you have that one shot. And I think a lot of people might even be trained to ignore a lot. I mean, I know we kind of are a lot of times to not even think to check that inbox. So it might be like weeks until that thing is actually seen, if ever.
Yeah.
Because it's buried by other spammers.
I actually feel a little guilty because like I'll flip through my LinkedIn and 90% of it's junk, but then there's like 10% of them are like things that I actually probably should have responded to in a more timely manner.
Yeah. How about on the paid side of things. I know you mentioned something about paid. What kind of strategies are you using there?
Yeah, so we're actually testing LinkedIn in terms of the paid platform. So, you know, caveat being, it's a super, super clunky platform. Like, it's so difficult to use. It's buggy as all heck. It's just like really bad to use.
But sorry, LinkedIn, who is also a sponsor of ours right now.
Oh,
I like delete this part. It's okay. Okay, I'm still curious.
So
don't worry about it.
Ad part is clunky, but I love it. Okay, so here's the other side. I love the results, because the results are ultimately what matters as marketers,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So always. Yes, I'm sure they'll improve it. Like when Facebook first started the advertising platform, it was super crappy as well.
It was horrendous, yeah.
It's the same kind of thing. Like,
well, here's how we can make it right real quick too. If anybody listening to this wants $100 in free credits to LinkedIn, they can go to, what is it, linkedin.com/hustle?
Yes.
All right. So there we go. We just
fixed it. Yes, do it. Do it. Because look, the results are awesome on LinkedIn. Like, it doesn't matter about the platform. The platform is completely irrelevant. Mm. If you can get the results from it, that's the important thing.
Yes.
So yes, it's clunky. Yes, you're going to have to figure it out. But hey, if you can get the results, who cares, right? Mm-hmm. We're seeing really, really good things come through. So there was a period a little bit previously, maybe a year or so ago, where the I think just after Microsoft came in and the data was a little bit funny and it just fluctuated a lot, but now it's really, really steady and we're getting some pretty cool results. So one of my biggest clients, they're spending a whole bunch of money on Facebook ads and their cost per acquisition on Facebook is about $250.
Whoa.
So on LinkedIn, it's a high ticket product. So it's actually a really good cost.
Right,
yeah. On LinkedIn, the first campaign we ran in the first month, I think we got that cost about $280. So it kind of matched with Facebook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the quality of people coming through and buying on LinkedIn, they're actually more serious. So in terms of the long-term customer lifetime value, we're seeing that to be higher on LinkedIn versus on Facebook. So even if it costs a little bit more to acquire on LinkedIn, the end result, the customer lifetime value and stickiness and retention is actually better going for that platform.
It makes sense. I mean, that's the purpose of LinkedIn, you know, is you're, and especially for the folks that you're working with and a lot of agency owners, consultants, all that stuff is just, you're going to get a better lead and they're probably going to act a little quicker. They're ready, you know, they're actually there for that purpose on LinkedIn. So you're not interrupting some, you know, not cat videos, that's more like YouTube, but you know, like whatever on Facebook or other Instagram, like they're not there to do work necessarily.
Yeah. LinkedIn is the social media platform where businesses are there to communicate with other businesses. I mean, it's what it's designed for.
Yeah.
Facebook is where people go to, like, you know, see what family and friends are up to lately, you know? So it does make sense.
I think we appease the LinkedIn gods.
But it's really cool because even the way they've set up the ads. So on Facebook nowadays, if you're selling like an info product, it's such a, you know, long form copy. You've got to tell the story and sell it on the ad itself. Whereas LinkedIn, you can't, because they just give you a smaller amount of space.
Yeah.
But it's so much better because, like, they're on there doing business. Talk about the benefits of what your product does. Talk about your audience, and that's all you have to worry about. And, you know, let the product do the heavy lifting, which I think is how essentially how marketing should be done, rather than trying to trick someone into a product.
For sure.
Now it's on LinkedIn. It's like, hey, here's what we do. Here's the benefits. Check us out.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, like, how do you set up like the targeting on LinkedIn? Like, how do you make sure your ads are being seen by the right people?
Yeah, so you've got to really figure out who is a buyer of your product and who would actually use your product. LinkedIn targeting is, in terms of B2B, there's nothing like it. Like, I just, as much as I, you know, talk poo-poo on the product, the interface, I love the platform. I literally, my business runs on this platform. There's so many targeting options in terms of the B2B space. You can target by job title, by company industry, company size. You can look at, you know, company growth, like, in terms of percentage of growth in headcount. Mm-hmm. There's just so much good data in there, and it's data you don't get on any other platform. So we can be creative with it, but as long as you know who's a good buyer for you and who's a good user of the product, because they're not always the same person, that will really help you out in terms of using LinkedIn.
That's really cool. No, it's good insights, man. And I think it's because we've had a lot of people on the show. Either we had some LinkedIn experts, but there are a lot of folks and just people in our circles who are like, dude, it's crushing on LinkedIn if you use it properly, you know, and in both organic and then the paid stuff, it's all, if you do it right, the right people are there. You just got to approach it right.
Yeah, really. I mean, we've even been seeing more and more organic engagement on LinkedIn. It's better engagement than we get from Facebook.
Uh-huh. So
who's not a sponsor, so screw them.
Yeah. That's fine.
Let's take a whole bunch of crap about them. It's all good.
LinkedIn loves us now. I'm curious because you've done so many campaigns and you do so many, you know, wide range of different modalities and ways to get attention. What's a campaign that you can, you don't have to like say the name of the campaign or the client or all that stuff, but like, could you walk us through a campaign that you just like, you made yourself, either yourself proud that you actually, yeah, you, I like, it made you just like, holy shit, how did I pull that off? Like, and you know, it was just.
And you're talking about across multiple mediums,
just,
right?
Yeah. Just anything that you found to be like so impressive to yourself. You're like, wow, I did that. Mm. Cool. Like, can you walk us through step by step one of those?
Yeah. So there was a campaign we ran. So this was more based in Australia. Mm-hmm. Oh, hopefully my...
You're good.
Cool. So, I mean, we do a lot of work in the US, but this one is a new product introducing into Australia. So this was like a financial services product where they had to talk to the biggest companies about capital raising. It's really weird. I'm not in financial services, so I don't know how they structured it, but apparently it was good for the companies, right? So a brand new product into the market, and they were going for the top of the top. So literally only listed companies on the stock exchange and only the CEOs and also board members.
Wow.
So what we did was, it was a really different campaign in that normally a lot of the other people we work with, they go after mid-size or even if it's a larger size companies, it's not the head of the companies. So we had to come up with a campaign that got the CEOs essentially at different angles and at different times and with different messaging to get them on board. So what we did was there was an email sequence off the back of it. Off the email sequence, we did lumpy mail that referenced the emails. Mm-hmm. And then what we did, we had the list and we uploaded back up to LinkedIn to run ads directly at these people.
Oh, nice.
So it was like a multi-touch, multi-combination campaign. And I think what ultimately happened was we got open rates of about 74%. I was looking at this yesterday, 74% and a 40% reply rate.
Wow.
So, from the emails themselves, not even, you know, the stuff that came through on advertising or direct mail and, this is like, you know, some of the biggest companies in Australia. So I think they did about 150 grand in the first month of the campaign and then a multi-million dollar pipeline in like 60 or 90 days or something like that.
And so, what does something like that cost? Like to run all of those pieces, what would that cost somebody?
So it depends on how many pieces they do, but something like that, you know, anywhere up from 8.5 to 12 grand. Mm-hmm. Just for the different assets and all the different research. And that's generally around kind of the level that we play at.
And most of that's going into the direct mail campaign. That's probably where the biggest cost is, right?
Yeah. A whole bunch of that is direct mail. A lot of it is also the research element and just the time spent researching each one. The LinkedIn ad component, obviously there's an ad cost to it as well. So a mix of everything.
Gotcha.
I think it's super fascinating, and I love the whole multi-prong approach where you're syncing it all up as a singular campaign that you've thought it through. And I mean, that's just, it's brilliant because now you got the whole on and offline strategy. You're kind of everywhere to them. They're like, man, these guys are legit. Like, I got to work with them or at least talk to them.
We were thinking about hiring people off Australian version of Craigslist to stand outside the offices with like a big cardboard thing, like the CEO's name and doing stuff like that. But that's a bit creepy. So we're like, all right, maybe not that.
I'm curious how somebody can use some of these strategies, like the cold email outreach and maybe direct mail. I don't know. Like if they have a more low ticket product, let's say you're like an e-com business and you're selling a $30 product, but your profit margin on it after cost of goods is like $12 or something. Is this kind of thing still viable for businesses like that?
Yeah, we've actually helped a couple of our e-com clients build the relationships with other people. Mm-hmm. So for example, we had a client who sells dog tags, so customized dog tags, but it's only about $25 each. And you know, there's profit margins and things like that. But what he did was he used cold email to get into vets, dog trainers, and also bigger businesses that had more products. So that was the way that he could do it. So each person he got through with emails was actually worth thousands and thousands because it was just the bulk order behind it.
That makes sense. Yeah. I guess if you're going to do a lot of small things, go for the bulk and figure out a partner or someone that can distribute that.
Yeah. Sell it wholesale.
Uh-huh. Yeah, definitely. I like that, man. curious about follow-ups. So like once you, what is your follow-up, like what's your mentality around follow-ups with your messages once you, or maybe you don't get a reply, or if they do, you know, they kind of drop off. Do you have a strategy or a mindset around that?
Yeah, so follow-up is actually everything. We typically get more responses on the second. So with most of the sequences we write, they go from 5 to 8 emails. And we get most of the responses on emails 2 and 3. And then, but we've had some really good responses on the 6th and 7th and 8th email as well. Wow. So you have to do follow up. Typically about 3 to 4 business days, sometimes longer, depending on the industry and, you know, the message and what we want to do. So It really depends on, the campaign. But we won't do anything less than 5 emails on a sequence typically. Mm-hmm. Just because people are busy, sometimes, you know, the really good thing is, especially on cold emails, you get to try different angles. Mm-hmm. So maybe on one of the emails, you can reference a case study. Maybe on another email, it's like, hey, can I just talk to you on the phone quickly? There's so many different ways that you can test it, but follow-up is key. If you're not doing it, it's just one email, you're not going to get good results. You have to have the sequence behind it.
So with your follow-ups, because I mean, it's so true. And, even us, we sometimes forget about it. I mean, because it's just like, I don't know, sometimes it just doesn't, you're like, I don't want to bug that person or, but yeah, we had like an affiliate manager, Matt McWilliams, on. He actually helped do the Rich Sheffrin launch that we were at.
Oh, awesome.
And he was like, no, in like the millions of messages he's literally sent in like the over, I don't know how many years he's been doing this. He's like, I've never had a person complain. They always thank me. Because you're helping them out. You know, it could have been something they totally forgot about. You're like, oh yeah, I meant to get back to you, or that was a great idea. I just didn't have time. Do you strictly stick with email for that? You know, for all your follow-ups.
It depends. So it depends on what platforms we need the campaign for. But sometimes, like the campaign we talked about, we'll use the direct mail to follow up with the emails. Mm-hmm. So it can be across campaigns. But one of the things that, you know, I will mention is that on every single email that we do to follow up, we've always got a line in there that says, look, if these emails aren't relevant for you, if you don't want to get these emails, that's completely fine. Just either click on this link or shoot me back a reply and we'll take you off. Mm. So in theory, we're only following up with people who are interested, but they might be really, really busy.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of mentality we've got.
And then, so what kind of tools are you using that have that kind of tech in them to allow people to sort of unsubscribe from getting more?
Yeah, so we use, there's a few systems, but my favorite is probably quickmail.io. It's a cold emailing software, quickmail.io.
Okay.
Yep.
Haven't heard of that one.
It's very built by an engineer, so it's very techie. A lot of great components to it. And they've only recently fixed the UX, so it's a super powerful thing but sometimes it gets, you know, you've got to learn how to use it. But it's been recently updated, which is awesome now. But there's a lot of functionality in there that some of the other platforms don't have that we really like in terms of timing responses a lot better and timing follow-ups in a more customized way. Mm-hmm. But that software, like if someone replies to one of the emails, it takes them off the sequence immediately. Mm. Or if they click on a link, it takes them off the sequence. You can build flows in it where if someone replies a certain way, it'll highlight that to your inbox and create a task for you. It'll also detect people saying, with automated replies, hey, I'm out of office. It detects it and holds off on the second email for a little bit longer. And, it just makes our job really, really easy in terms of following up.
Ooh, yeah. I like that. Yeah, because it's the only one we've, like I mentioned before, but Mailshake does do similar stuff. But that one sounds like you probably use it at like a totally extreme level where it creates tasks and all this other stuff too.
Well, I feel like Mailshake's big sort of USP is simplicity. Like it's a very simple user interface. It's kind of intuitive when you first get in, but it doesn't have like a crap ton of functionality, but it's just easy to use. Mm-hmm. Right, it sounds like the one you're talking about, there's a ton of functionality, but you kind of give up usability a little bit with it.
I think, look, there's no perfect platform for someone who just wants to run a simple campaign. Like we've got a bunch of clients on Mailshake too, so we're constantly testing different platforms, and I really like Mailshake. Like it's you just get in there, do what you got to do, and just get your emails out. Whereas, you know, some of the stuff that we're doing that needs to get a bit more complicated, then that's when we use Quickmail. So
for sure.
Different platforms for kind of different folks and what they want to do.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Makes sense. Now, I'm curious about like the storytelling aspect. And I mean, we talked about it towards the beginning of the show. How do you wrap story around all the different campaigns you're doing?
Yeah, so storytelling, I'll look at it from two parts because we do a lot of warm emails as well, like sequences offer ad campaign, and we do the cold email stuff, obviously. Mm-hmm. So stories in cold emails are really hard to do because you've got such a short amount of time. You need to get their attention. So there's less of that in cold emails. Mm-hmm. The skill that we've got is to be able to bring a little bit of that, a little bit of personality into emails, using stories as well with the cold. Mm-hmm. So to do that, we often reference case studies. We reference stuff we've done with other clients. We put jokes in there because mm-hmm. jokes can get people curious. Yeah. Obviously, only if it fits with the client that we're working with. So if we're doing it for ourselves, like I'll put so many jokes in there, people will just, either love it or they're like, who is this guy? You're so random, like just get out of here.
Have you been practicing or these are like, oh, you go to like dadjokes.com or something? I don't even know what that exists.
No, I try and do my own, but I will admit I have used like a whole bunch of dad jokes in there, but you know.
That's fine, yeah.
So the jokes and, by using a little bit of that, you can kind of insert some story and also personality just by having, one or two liners in the cold emails. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you're not very jokey, and I always say this, like we had an accountant who's very amazing at what he does, very dry personality. Mm-hmm. So when we send an email out, it had a bit of joke in it. People are like, oh, this accountant's awesome. When they got on the phone with him, they were just like, whoa, like, hang on. Like, am I talking to the right person here? So it's really about, your own personality. But, so it's a little bit harder in cold emails, but just insert some personalities, insert a point about yourself or maybe a common, if you go for the same sports team, you're from the same area, things like mm-hmm. that kind of works. Longer emails and sequences, that's when stories can really, really shine. So we've got a client that's doing really well already, but we tripled the sales in one of their products just by having a story sequence in there where mm-hmm. we went through and talked about, it wasn't just about, hey, you've come for this webinar, so buy our stuff. It was more like, look, I know you've probably got some hesitations and some doubts. Here's how I got to where I am. Here's some of my other students. Here's their stories, mm-hmm. their objections, what they were scared of. And we really just seeded that idea of, you're not the first one to go through this. Mm-hmm. And it's okay because showing through stories, other people have gone through and here's the results they've got.
Yeah. And so now you're talking more like if you've got somebody on like an email subscription list, this is the kind of autoresponder emails that go out.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's really cool. I mean, this is fascinating. I love how all the different, it's like a big thing of the journey, is meeting people where they're at, making sure you're not just trying to rush the communication. And I think that's my big takeaway here is meet them like where they're at and, physical, LinkedIn, or be everywhere if you mm-hmm. can sync it up, and then just kind of be cool, just be very helpful. And don't rush it. It's just like, just be a natural relationship builder. And then, you kind of have this goal in mind, but you might not make it, and that's okay. They might even like refer you to someone else that's a better fit.
Yeah.
Have you actually had that happen with some of your campaigns?
Yeah, we have. So we had this pretty cool campaign. So this was a software company in Australia, and we got them in the door with, I think the international. So I'm not, I don't buy makeup or anything. L'Oreal, pretty sure they're international,
yeah,
right? Pretty big.
Too. Yeah.
So we got him into L'Oreal. L'Oreal said, your email is awesome. What you guys do is awesome. Speak to Maybelline. And then Maybelline referred them on to one of the biggest pharmacy chains in Australia. So that was like a really cool thing where they got the lead first and foremost, but then the lead referred them to like a whole bunch of other people based on the email that was written. So that was
perfect.
Cool.
See, that just shows that you're doing the right thing, and it's okay if it doesn't, like, if it's not that person, because some people are just so determined. Like, it's like, no, just, I think if you just give that value and you're showing that you're doing something different, you stand out and people notice it.
Yeah.
And they'll share you around.
Yeah. I'm curious when it comes to the storytelling aspect, like once you've got somebody on a warm email list and you're following up in like more of an automated fashion, how do you find the stories? Like, I feel like that's kind of, I think, conceptually we understand like we should be telling stories, stories sell and people relate to stories, but how do you sort of find the story in your product?
Yeah, so it depends on how much access we've got to the customers or the end users. Mm-hmm. My personal favorite is just doing interviews with them, just being able to get 15 to 20 minutes of their time, sitting down, having a conversation, and asking them a few set questions. So, if it was going to be of value to everyone listening and watching this, I've actually got a template I use when we go through and get these questions. I'm happy to share it with everyone as well. So,
please.
It's all about understanding like it's kind of painting the picture of a journey after they've completed the actual journey, right, but then getting them to think back to their feelings and emotions at the start of that journey and the whole way through as well. So yeah, there's a whole bunch of questions that, you know, if anyone listening wants to see, we use that to lead the conversation. But then when people start talking about themselves and you're listening and open to receiving what they're saying, they just give you gold. And so that writes a lot of the copy for us anyway. So yeah, it's a pretty cool process.
That is a really cool process. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And it's really just the right questions will uncover the gold. And then that can develop a whole story or a whole freaking, you know, string of stories that tie together.
When I look at copy, it's like, for me, the skill is in the writing. So a lot of people think, you know, it's the writing component that's the most valuable. Like literally, if you've got the right ideas, you can pay someone online much cheaper to do the writing itself with a framework. Mm-hmm. It's really about understanding the strategy, the emotions, and the subtleties behind it. That's really where the value in copy is, rather than just putting some words on the page. So, you know, questions are kind of everything that leads into that whole process.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest misconception when it comes to copywriting is that, like, if I just find the right words and I put them in the right order and I use these sort of high value words, then sales are just going to flood in. But at the end of the day, it's really like you need to change somebody's perspective. You need to understand the psychology of why somebody wants this and get into their heads a little more. And it's less about the words and more about understanding the psychological triggers behind why they would want something. And then at the end of the day, the words don't really matter. I mean, you can make videos where you're just kind of talking off the hook or off the cuff, and that can convert people into your product if you're hitting the right psychological triggers. So I think that's really valuable.
Pretty dang good. Oh man. Well, tell us a little bit about your podcast as well. Does that relate to what you're working on here, or is that more of a side thing?
No. So I'm actually going, the reason why I scaled back the agency was to go more into the podcasting and also more into the content and also teaching space, because, I love teaching. Just really enjoy that kind of thing. So the podcast is a bit of a pivot as well. I'm always breaking stuff in the business. used to have one called Marketing from the Trenches, where it's like looking at the current marketing tactics that are working now, but it wasn't quite the right fit. And we weren't hitting the right target market in terms of, you know, we're looking to help small business owners who just want to grow their businesses. Not necessarily, the stuff that we had was a little bit too advanced and didn't apply to everyone. Mm-hmm. So we've actually pivoted to a brand new podcast called the Content Driven Business Podcast. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we literally just go through and look at templates, and, you know, we share a whole bunch of templates with everyone listening as well, and discuss why they worked, look at some of the best campaigns we've got, and just help people create better content that helps them stand out and better copywriting in a more effective way, rather than like staring at a blank screen going, oh shit, this sucks, I hate copy. It's like, well, just take the ideas and then just do it better.
Yeah, I dig it. That's sweet. Is that an interview show, or is it just you?
It's half-half. So I'm actually not grinding camera by myself. So I need someone to kind of bounce energy off. So, sure. I think you guys know Charlie Valor. Charlie's my co-host on that one.
No kidding.
Yeah. Okay. And then there's, so Charlie's awesome as well. And he's helping with the co-hosting. And then there's a few, it's kind of half-half where every second episode is an interview. So I had James on for our very first episode. So we kicked it off pretty strong. And we've got people, you know, actual business owners doing some cool stuff with content on for every second episode as well.
Right on, man.
Very cool.
I dig it. Well, I think, is there anything left that we might not have asked you? I feel like we like grilled you with a bunch of questions, but it was just like so easy to, is there anything else?
All good. No, I don't think there is. I think we've gone through a fair few things, but I've really enjoyed this. I mean, I'm actually a massive fan of the podcast as well. So every single episode, it's just been so good in terms of like how you structured it with the lifestyle and the planning episodes. The one looking at how people structure their businesses, how they become top performers, and those are awesome. And then the tactical stuff's amazing as well. So
thank you.
If anything I can do to share value to the audience, just let me know. I'll share the templates. And if anyone's listening or watching and want more information, just reach out to you guys, and happy to help as much as we can.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
I was going to ask books. Do you have any sort of books that you recommend often, or you find yourself checking back to, or anything like that?
Yeah, so I have two books that I must read every quarter. So every 3 months I go back and read it. 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. But just the first part of it, because obviously the second part is more tactical, like VAs, and that may get outdated. The first part about looking at why you're doing what you're doing, I always tend to get lost every 3 months because I'm like going a million miles an hour between different things, and it's good to bring myself back.
That's so smart, actually. I love that because people will say the 4-hour work week, and I'll think about it because I actually, admittedly, I've not read it in a while just because, you know, it's been so long. But yeah, I do remember like most of the book is probably pretty outdated at this point with resources and stuff. But that's that first half. Like it's a mind shift, like it's a reboot almost. So it's brilliant. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, so I literally only read the first half, and as soon as that's finished, like, all right, cool. James Tramco's book, Make More, Work Less. I mean, that's you know, in a nutshell, what we're all trying to achieve. So I read that. There's a whole bunch of copy books as well. I'm happy to send you some links and stuff that I'll look at.
Please.
Brain Audit is a really good copy book, especially brain for people getting into the Brain Audit by Sean D'Souza.
That's a new one to me.
It really breaks down psychologically, you know, what people think about. But this is more for long form copy for sales pages, not so much for you know, the email sequences and stuff like that. But long form sales pages, it just got some good principles behind it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm a massive reader, so I'm always going through books.
That's great, man. Yeah. Well, yeah. If you have a list or whatever later on, if you think of some, shoot it our way, and we'll get them in the show notes. And so where can people go contact you? I mean, we'll link stuff in the show notes, but how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, awesome. Best place would probably be contentdrivenbusiness.com. So that's where they can go. And we're constantly updating new templates they can download as well. So probably the best place to start. For the agency stuff, we're at growthlabs.com. So LABZ. So I couldn't buy the S, so I had to buy the Z. Growthlabs.com. Whichever site they go to. If it's more for the content templates, definitely content driven business.
Sweet. Awesome. All right, Will. Well, dude, we covered a lot, man. And thanks for being so open with all the campaigns and all these little nuances and stuff. It means a lot.
That's all good. This is the tough geek add-on. So thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, man. Have a good one.
Thanks so much for tuning into that episode. I hope you dug it. I know Joe and I dug it. I actually kicked Joe out of the room. He's not here right now because I wanted to tell you about a tool that I really, really dig. We use it in our business. We recommend it all the time. It's called Easy Webinar, and it's a tool that lets you do live webinars, automated webinars, hybrid webinars, and you know, pretty much any other kind of webinar, if there are other kinds of webinars. But anyway, this tool is kind of like your all-in-one, do-it-all tool for anything webinar-related. It's Easy Webinar. It's put out by a dude named Casey Zeman. He's been on the podcast. If you haven't listened to that episode, it's a killer episode. He's a really smart dude, but his software is amazing. It does everything. It's, you know, the title tells you exactly what it does. It's an easy webinar platform. And we use this in our business to run automated webinars all the time. We don't do a lot of live webinars these days. We like to do the kind of automated webinars where somebody can register and then it, you know, they can either watch it like 15 minutes later or they can watch it the next day, but it's just kind of always running. And it's a system that helps us make autopilot sales off of our webinars. Super cool tool. If you haven't tried it yet, you know, it's an amazing tool. And Casey is actually hooking you up. He said for listeners of Hustle and Flowchart, I can't believe he's doing this, but he said for listeners of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast, he's giving 25% off of the membership to use Easy Webinar. It's already super, super inexpensive for what it does and all the cool features it has, but he's hooking you up with 25% off because you're a listener of Hustle and Flowchart. Go to easywebinar.com/hustle. That's where you can get that 25% off discount. That's easywebinar.com/hustle. It's a awesome tool. You're going to dig it. So just go grab it. Check it out. easywebinar.com/hustle. See ya. No, not see ya. You'll hear me in the next show. I don't know. I don't know how to close these things. Go get Easy Webinar. Talk to you later.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. For taking the time to listen, we want to give you something a little bit special. Every single episode that we do, we actually have somebody on our team take notes. We basically have a Cliff's Notes version of every episode where you can go and find all of the tips and tactics that they laid out, all of the resources that they laid out, all the good stuff from this episode. We actually have a nice simple notes version that you can find on our website. So go to evergreenprofits.com, find this episode that you just listened to, and give us your email address and we'll send you the notes. Thanks for listening.
Go get it.
Wiki.